Hello, hello, hello. I don't know if I'm recording. I hope I'm recording, because then otherwise I'm going to be doing a lot of talking into the nether world, which basically I really just do anyhow. But yes, this is the special Christmas bonus episode of Velvet Owl Watches Movies So You Don't Have To. It's not Christmas as I record this, and there's a very good chance it's not Christmas as you listen to it, but it is my Christmas gift to you. I'm going to watch a couple of short Christmas movies, because, you know, bonus! You're going to get two movies for the price of one, which is zero, because you do not pay for this. Because I will never go into the Patreon mode of having you pay for, like, early access to this podcast, because, I mean, you're not listening to it for free anyhow, so who am I fooling that I could get anyone to pay for this? Anyhow, the first one we've got up is called Christmas Cheer. And the description is, while working at a food bank during the holidays, a cheerleading captain must overcome her shellfish. Oh, dude, that would be an awesome movie if she was a cheerleader and a shellfish. But no, she must overcome her selfishness to understand what's most important in life. Which, I'm curious, because what could possibly be more important than being a cheerleader? And I bet if I was watching this on Pornhub, they would have a much, much more interesting cheerleader Christmas video. You know what? Fuck it. I'm going to go watch that instead. No, 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 no. I have made the commitment. I'm going to watch Christmas Cheer. And I will learn what is more important than being a cheerleader. So the movie starts off with the cheerleaders doing their practice. And they look way too young for me to be throwing all sorts of sexual innuendo during this episode. So I know you were looking forward to it. I was looking forward to it. I was looking forward to perving out on the cheerleaders. And I mean, this isn't just, you know, that they're playing high schoolers. Your type of, like, bring it on of, like, oh, they're supposed to be high schoolers, but they're all, like, in their 30s. No, these girls look like they actually are teenagers. So I am going to refrain from perving out. Oh, man, the whole reason I picked the Christmas cheerleader movie was the whole getting to perv out on cheerleaders. And I have been denied that. I mean, I could, but in the theoretical sense, I can't bring myself to it. Like, they're teenagers. I'm sorry. I'm not built that way. There was something that flipped in my brain the minute I turned 18 that underage girls were just, they were just, ugh, off limits. I have no interest in them whatsoever. And I am a good man for that. I have many falls, many flaws, but at least that is not one of them. So, unfortunately, we're going to take the cheerleaders at face value, and I'm not going to say anything dirty about them. But I will complain about them, because the head cheerleader, or whoever, I'm assuming she's like the head cheerleader, because she's commanding the other people, she tells them, like, you know, make sure you practice, and don't eat! Like, seriously? Don't eat? I mean, at all? Like, they're just supposed to starve themselves? I guess, because they're cheerleaders, and that's what cheerleaders do, right? They starve themselves so that they can do their cheerleader flips. And so, now the cheerleaders, some of them are, like, you know, hanging out and talking, and they're talking about what they're going to get for Christmas. Like, a new phone. And a new laptop. Like, whoo, boy. How do you know what you're getting for Christmas? I didn't know what I was getting for Christmas growing up. I mean, yeah, I could tell my mom everything I wanted for Christmas, and chances are I was going to get, like, less than 5% of the things I actually asked for. I was going to get socks instead. Which built character. It builds character to get socks for Christmas. And I still, you know, I still receive socks for Christmas. And I actually enjoy it, because I get the fun socks. And it is fun to, like, get those socks, like, oh, sweet, those are awesome. Or sometimes it's like, fuck, all my socks have holes in them. hey, new pack of socks. Oh, right, I've got new socks. Fuck. That is when you know you're getting old, is when you actually look forward to getting socks as presents. God damn. But anyhow, like, these fucking, like, rich bitches that are so spoiled that they know what they're getting for Christmas. But then they ask Trevor, who walks by, because he's the guy, he's the cute guy that all the girls want, like, hey, he is the JTT of this generation. Jonathan Taylor Thomas, if you're not down with the JTT, which, I mean, granted, if you're not from my generation, maybe you're not, but if you are in my age group, you are absolutely fucking down with JTT. There, you can't help it. You can be, like, 100% straight, you could be the manliest man alive, and you look at JTT during a certain age group, and it's like, okay, I am gay now. This has awakened something in me that I was not aware of. I love you, JTT. But, so Trevor, apparently he's not getting anything for Christmas. And not that he doesn't know what he's getting for Christmas, he knows he's not getting anything for Christmas, because his family doesn't do presents, because they believe in the true spirit of Christmas, and they, you know, are all about charity for Christmas instead of giving each other presents. Good for them. Good for them. But you could still give presents. Like, it's not an either-or situation. You should do both. But, you know, the girls are all like, you're lame, because you don't want presents. And so, let's go hang out at the mall. Which, apparently, kids still do at this time. When was this made? This was, oh fuck, this is 2023. Who the fuck is hanging out at the mall? And I'm not saying that as in malls aren't cool places to hang out, but more as, where the fuck is a mall to hang out with at? Malls are fucking dying. Here in Buffalo, we've got 2 malls fucking closing by the end of this year. 2! And we were down to like 3 malls. So, that is, I guess if you live in Richville, like these bitches, there's malls aplenty to go hang out at. Except for one of the girls. She can't go because she's got to go do some charity work at her family's, like, charity organization or something. I don't think it's the same place Trevor, like, does charity work at. Or maybe it is. But one of the other cheerleaders, the redheaded cheerleader, she's like, oh, be careful because I've heard about that place and those people are sleazy and they're just fucking stealing from the donations. So keep your eyes out. And I hope that is not true, because that is fucking sleazy. And those are like the lowest of low. People who steal from like the donation bin, just fuck them. So the cheerleader, who I'm going to call Hannah, because I feel like they said her name was Hannah, but one of the other cheerleaders might have been Hannah. Or there might not be any Hannah whatsoever, but we're just going to say she's Hannah. And I'm going to stick to it, no matter if even I find out, like, one of the other cheerleaders is Hannah. Because I've decided on it, and it's too late, I'm in too deep. So she goes to the donation center, and who's there? It's Trevor! And no, it's not his parents' place, but, you know, his parents are, at least his father, is, what's the word? Volunteering his time. So Trevor's like, hey, I'm going to do it too. And the cheerleader, Hannah, who may not be Hannah, she says, like, oh, well, my dad signed me up. And, you know, she calls the redhead cheerleader on the phone and is like, oh, my dad signed me up for, like, up till Christmas Eve. And redhead's like, oh, no, how are we going to go Christmas shopping? How are we going to hang out at the mall if you're just spending all your time doing charity work and doing good for the community? And redhead reminds her, like, and you know, it's all fucking scam. And Hannah brings this up to Trevor. Like, I hear this place is a scam and they're just trying to steal the donations. And Trevor's like, no, this is a very good place for the community. And many people would not have a Christmas if it weren't for Old Man Smithers. It's Old Man something. An old man is in charge of the place, I guess, and according to Trevor. Trevor called him old man something. And so, you know, I appreciate it. You gotta have, like, good donation centers helping out the underprivileged, the needy, and making sure that they get presents. And, you know, it's thoughtful presents, because they're wrapping up, like, Gatorades and Pampers. Which is good. Like, underprivileged families are gonna need diapers. So it's a good thing to give them. Even, you know, it's not a fun Christmas present, but it is a useful Christmas present. So Hannah, start listening to Trevor. Trevor is A-okay. And I don't say that just because he's got those fucking JTT good looks. He's pure-hearted soul. He knows what Christmas is about. Okay, the cheerleader's name is Megan, which I'll stick with. I'll remember that because that's an appropriately bitchy name. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say 3 out of 4 Megans are bitches. Which means 1 out of 4 Megans is cool. So I leave it up to you to decide which kind of Megan you are. But so she's there, and this little boy goes up to Trevor and, like, I snuck a peek into the box for Mom, and I'm so super excited. And so Megan thinks, like, oh, man, there must have been a really cool toy in that box. But Trevor tells her, nope, it's probably socks and underwear. Which, good on you, kid, to learn that socks and underwear are actually exciting presents. But Megan, she's slowly coming around, like, realizing, huh, it's different for these people who don't have money. And this other, like, family, the single mom, comes by, and Megan signs her up to receive, like, the boxes of whatever. And Megan's all, like, super excited, like, all right, I am doing good. And the next day she comes in, and as she's coming in, her friend, one of her best friends, Maggie, or Maddie, or something, Maggie, Maddie, Maddie, whatever, it's an M name, an M-A name, and she left. She had just gotten a box, and Megan's, like, confused, like, wait, she's not poor? She's got so much stuff. She's got a lot of clothes. And Trevor tells her the truth that her dad got laid off and, you know, things are going to be tight for them this year. And like Jesus says, and of course, this is a Jesus movie, isn't it? Why didn't I go for like some fucking Hallmark movie? I thought this was going to be a Hallmark movie. I guess that's what I get for thinking like, oh, well, it's a half-hour Hallmark-type movie. No, it's going to be a Jesus movie. Nothing against Jesus, and, you know, doing charity in the name of Jesus is still doing charity. And Jesus had some cool stuff to say. So, I am not going to bag on it. That is my Christmas gift to you. I am not going to bag on Christians. I'm not bagging on Christians, and I'm not perving on cheerleaders. What the fuck is wrong with me for this film? Is it over yet? Oh, fuck, it's not over yet. But yeah, you know, word of Jesus, blah, blah, blah. Treat everyone good. And Megan's like, but why wouldn't she tell me? I'm her best friend. And Trevor's like, oh, maybe because you're a judgmental bitch and she didn't want to get judged. Because, you know, blah, 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 Jesus judge, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. Actually, he didn't bring up Jesus on that part. But he was thinking it. He was thinking that only Jesus is allowed to judge. And so, Megan, stop being a judgmental bitch. But I think Megan's coming around, because she's realizing, hey, maybe I should help my friend too. Help all these people who have less than me, as long as I get my new phone. So Megan gets with the other cheerleaders and tells them, like, oh, shit is bad for Maddie, and her dad got fired, so let's help her out and get her, like, some gift cards and make a nice little present box for her. It'll cheer her up. And the rest of them are like, all right, yes, let's do so. But in doing this, Megan is late getting to the center, which makes Trevor very sad because he brought an extra cinnamon roll for her. And she just gets there late, and the cinnamon roll's already been given away to her dad, so, you know, at least it's kept in the family. But, you know, Megan's mom isn't down with this whole plan of, like, hey, let's make this special gift to cheer up Maddie, because, you know, maybe there's a reason Maddie didn't tell you that, you know, her father got fired and that she's going to be poor for this Christmas. She might not want this shit, which is true. It could be. And mom is right, because they go to Maddie's house to cheer her up with the cheer box, like, hey, we got this box of stuff for you to help you, because we know that things are going very rough for you. And Maddie is just pissed off. Like, how dare fucking you... she didn't say it that way. There was no fucking and there was no how dare you. But even if she did, how dare fucking you. That shows you how pissed off she would be that she can't even say it right. But it's like, how fucking dare you get in my business? Like, now everyone at school's gonna know, and I'm gonna be laughed at as the poor kid. Fuck you! She slams the door in their face. And right at Cheerleader's like, oh my god, she's a bitch. She wasn't even thankful. Which, granted, yeah, she wasn't thankful, but see things from her point of view. She was one of the rich, popular kids, and now she's one of the poor kids, and all of you hate poor kids. So... yeah, and plus you don't do charity for the thanks. You do it because it's good. It's good to help people. You're not supposed to want them to be grateful to you. I mean, it'd be nice if they're grateful, but that's not the goal. The goal is not for you, it's for them. Where am I going with this? Anyhow, Megan goes back to the center, and she's all mopey and depressed because things didn't go out as well as she hoped, and helping her friend did not go so well, and she just doesn't know what to do. And please, JTT, tell me more about Jesus and the Bible, and some, you know, quotes about God and all that, and, you know, it helps cheer her up a little bit of knowing, like, okay, well, I am going to continue to try to do good. Now it's Christmas Eve, and Megan is super stoked to be able to go to the center and help out people, because it's Christmas Eve, and, you know, she's done her complete 180 within the week. I don't know, I lost track of how many days she was volunteering, but she's done a 180, and she's now all super psyched to be like, yeah, I'm going to help people. But, wait, Dad gets a phone call. Oh no! There's been a fire at the center. Everything's damaged. Oh no, Christmas is gonna be ruined. And Megan's all upset because she had all these things, like, planned and wrapped up. And it was gonna be great for the kids. And one of the kids was getting, like, a little baby doll or something. And oh no, what are they gonna do now? Trevor, use your JTT good looks to save Christmas. So Megan sits around her room while some just country song about Jesus and Christmas plays, and she's trying to think, what can she do to help the center? And she has an idea. So she heads down to the local radio station and makes a passionate plea of why everyone should come down and donate what they can to the center to help Christmas for all these poor unfortunate souls, and stuff about Jesus and God and why God and Jesus want you to come down and save the center. And everyone feels warm and good in their hearts, and I think things are gonna go well, and Tiny Tim is gonna get his Christmas. So the donation drive is a rousing success, and even Maddie shows up, and she realizes, you know, the other cheerleaders weren't trying to make her feel bad, they were trying to help, so she is grateful. And the old guy who runs the center, he's all happy, because not only is the donation drive a success, the insurance adjuster called, and they're going to be able to reopen the center by next month! Oh, that is super exciting, isn't it? And then he gives a speech about Jesus, because, you know, this has been a stealthy Christian film. I did not realize
when I first picked it, that it was going to be all about Jesus, and kind of really only halfway through the film did it just suddenly, like, turn into, let's all love Jesus. So, kind of like the Peanuts Christmas special. You weren't expecting it to just suddenly become, you know, like, love Jesus, and it did. But, you know, everyone's all excited. Where am I going? I forgot what happened. Oh, yeah, so, you know, everything's been a rousing success, and we get a version of Oh Holy Night. And then, you know, things are wrapping up, and Trevor, he's kind of, like, sad, and telling Megan, like, you know, this is it. Like, we're gonna go our separate ways. Because, you know, you're a cheerleader and I'm a musician. And I'm pretty sure this is the first we hear about him being a musician. We have not seen him do any sort of musician stuff, which has kind of pissed me off because the picture for the film shows him holding a guitar. So I've been waiting this whole time for him to whip out the guitar and just sing a song to her. Well, you know, the film's not quite over yet, so there's still a chance that he whips it out. And he might also whip out his guitar. Oh, it wouldn't be very Jesus of him to whip his dick out, would it? No, it would not. So, even though they totally are gonna bone, they're gonna bone after they get married the way Christ would want them to bone. Now it's nighttime, bedtime, at the Megan household, and Megan's dad is very proud of her for, you know, giving up her time shopping at the mall to go work at the poverty center, or whatever you want to call it. And, you know, blah, 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 God loves you. This was all really part of God's plan. And then, the end. Wait, the end? Wait, what? So am I not going to find out if Trevor and Megan hook up? Like, are they just destined to be part of their separate social circles? Because he's a musician. And those fucking dirty musicians, cheerleaders do not want to be with them. They want to be with the quarterback. And Trevor, he's a musician that we never see him perform music. I am really upset about, like, he's got a fucking guitar in the picture, and he never whips it out. He also never plays guitar. Yes, I just made that joke again. But over the credits, we do get to see the cheerleaders in cheerleader outfits doing cheerleader stuff. And it makes me think back, like, remember the cheer captain, which I don't remember which one of the girls it was, told them not to eat? Because that's very important to be a cheerleader. You know what? Fuck this. Fuck those cheerleaders. Now, you know, I shouldn't be mad at the whole cheerleading squad, just the captain, for wanting them to starve themselves. That is so totally not cool. And fuck Trevor for never playing guitar. And just, everyone else is cool. Everyone else in the film, I'm just going to say, like, you guys are cool. So, up next, because this is a double feature. I originally was going to try to do three shorts, but Christmas cheer was longer than I was expecting. So I'm only doing two. So we've got Christmas Dress. And it's about a letter carrier and his son having to fight against a blizzard to deliver lost packages. And I feel this is also going to be heartwarming. And I think they're going to, you know, make it thanks to the power of God. And the power of Christ will compel them to get those packages out on time. Because they're doing this on Christmas Eve. So, you know, it's already going to be tough. Because why isn't Santa doing this? Santa should be delivering the packages. I guess the post carrier has to take the place of Santa. He's going to play Santa. Oh my God. It would be so awesome if he delivers the packages in a Santa suit. Because why not? You're delivering them on Christmas Eve. Go the full way. The power of Christ wants you to dress like Santa. So it tells us this is based on a true story. But
It also contains additional material from a story called The Postman Who Saved Christmas, which I applaud them for at least telling us up front that it's not completely true. Some of it will be fictionalized because, you know, Hollywood loves to just kind of send you like, hey, this is a true story. True story. There's a reference for people who remember season 2 of The Real World. This is the true story. True story of 7 strangers picked to live in a house. Something, something to see what happens when people stop being polite and start being real. The Real World, Los Angeles. Yeah, okay. It's kind of sad that I still know that much of it. But it's got me curious, though, of how much of this will be, like, fictionalized. Because The Postman Who Saved Christmas, that sounds like what the plot of this film, like, the main plot is, that the postman is going to deliver the packages and save Christmas. So, is the true story, like, just kind of depressing that they needed packages and Christmas was ruined? Which I would much rather see that story made. But so, Mary, who, this is like fucking Little Prairie shit, Little House on the Prairie, they're living in a cabin, says some time in the past, but not too far in the past because there's cars. So maybe like early 1900s, when were cars invented? Late 1800s, early 1900s. I should know this. I went to school. They taught us this. I know it was Henry Ford and it was a Model T, what, 1905? I am not going to bother to look it up. Fuck that noise. You, dear listener, can look it up yourself. So Mary gets a letter from Rose. Who Rose is, I don't know. I don't even really know who Mary is. She's just the mom of this family. And they got her story, and I don't know, I guess Rose was so moved by it that they're gonna mail a dress to them. Which, this letter came quite some time ago, because the daughter, she's kind of believing that this dress is never gonna come. And, you know, it's gonna apparently ruin Christmas for the sons. I don't know why. If it's a dress, maybe I misheard on what they're sending. Because why would the sons really care if the dress got there or not? Is that their Christmas present? They're getting a fucking dress? Very progressive of this family that the kids, the boys wanted a dress and they're getting them a dress. And the daughter, she came in with a chicken that she just killed. And it was the last chicken of their farm, I guess. And it makes them sad because it's the last chicken. There's not going to be any chickens for Christmas dinner. Oh, very sad. And mom tells the daughter, like, you know, you just got to have faith. And daughter says, faith isn't going to feed us. Which, okay, true, but you got to have faith. A faith, a faith, a faith. Because, you know, this is a Christmas movie. God will come through, and the power of Christ will fill your bellies. And so they're also, the sons are like, where's daddy? Where's daddy? And mom's like, he's going to come soon. Is this going to be fucking tragic in that the dad is dead and isn't coming home? And mom is still trying to figure out, how do I tell the boys that their father is dead? I hope so. I want that movie. I want the movie where she's been lying to the sons about dad's been dead for quite some time. There isn't going to be a Christmas. And the postman does not fucking get there in time to deliver the package. Or do I? If the sons want a dress, then I do actually want them to get that package. Because they deserve a happy ending. But if I misunderstood that whole part of it, then I want Christmas to be ruined. Why don't we ever get that film where Christmas is just ruined at the end and no one gets their presents? No presents for Christmas, like King Diamond said. Dad goes to the post office to see if the package has arrived yet. But it hasn't. And likely won't be there before Christmas, because there's a storm a-coming. And Dad's just really down on his luck. And he asks, like, well, is there any work that you know of? And the postmaster tells him, like, nope, there is no work. It's rough for everyone. And it's just, it's a shame. And the postmaster's son stops by, and I think he's got a thing for the daughter. Because he's like, oh, you know, tell her that, you know, I'm looking forward to see her at the dance. So I'm guessing that's what the dress is for. The dress is for the daughter so that she can go to the dance, even though she has clothes. Because we see her with another dress, which apparently isn't good enough for the dance. Dad, you teach your daughter that she be grateful for the clothes she has. And the postmaster's son, like, you know, he says to his dad, like, I wish we could do something to help them. And postmaster's like, God helps those that help themselves. Which, oh my God, you motherfucking prick! Okay, yeah, like, God helps those who help themselves. What do you think that family's doing? Dad is trying to find a job. Well, is he supposed to go and sew the dress himself? How much fucking more do you want them to try to help themselves? You're just leaving it in God's hands? You can do something. So I'm guessing is why he decides to deliver the package. Because he realizes, oh my God, I am such a fucking prick. Because I could help this family a little bit. But I'm all like, nope, it's up to God. God will help you if you help yourselves. What the fuck, motherfucking prick? I hate you, post office man. Now I'm torn, because I want the family to not get the presents, because I want just a fucking depressing bummer of an ending. But I hate this fucking prick postmaster, so I'm glad he's going to have to go out in the blizzard to deliver shit. Fuck him. Or he could die in the blizzard. Oh my God, that would be the greatest ending. I don't care. I am remaking this film. And in my film, Postmaster dies while trying to deliver this package. And no one gets a Merry Christmas. Fuck, we need that film. We need a film where no one has a Merry Christmas at the end. And there probably is a film like that. If you know of a film like that, tell me. I so want to see that movie. But so Dad gets home and he's like, oh, hey, yeah, no package. But little kids say, yeah, Santa will come, sure. And the daughter's all like, I knew it. I knew I was not going to get the package. And she goes in her room and she cries like, what good is faith if he can't help us? And Dad's like, I don't know what God's plan is, but you gotta believe in God's plan. Because we are trying to fucking help ourselves as much as we can, so God is gonna fucking help us. And Mom's very, like, worried, because as far as I can tell, like, the way it seems, is that Christmas dinner is gonna be the last fucking meal they have for a while. And I don't mean to laugh at that. That is sad. It is sad that they're all going to die of starvation, or at least eat each other before they all completely die of starvation. My God, there are so many great ways this movie could go. I'm writing down my ideas. So they're starving. They're waiting for the package. Postmaster dies in the blizzard. Fucking freezes to death. So the package never gets there. They never get food. So they stop. They're starving, so they have to eat each other. Merry Christmas. I love this film idea. I love it. Let's get on this. Hollywood, call me. I am so full of fucking good ideas. Over at the postmaster's house, everything is just fucking hunky-dory. They've got cookies and candy yams. It's going to be a great Christmas for them. But the son hasn't gotten home yet. But he finally does, and he's super excited because the packages for the other family have arrived. It was just late because the train broke down, And that's right, packages. There's lots of crates, which is good. I was kind of worried that, like, okay, you know, the family's starving, but their focus is going to be on this fucking dress. But no, because apparently some of the crates have food. Oh, good. And so the son's like, we gotta go deliver these packages. And the dad is just like, God helps those that help themselves, you motherfucking prick! Do you really think that the family is not trying to help themselves the best they can? They're fucking starving, they need food, and they're about to eat each other. In my head, anyhow, they're gonna eat each other if you don't get those crates to them. And the son's just like, isn't that what we're here for? And that's true. Because God's going to help them through you, fucking postmaster. You're going to get those crates because they've tried to help themselves and this is how God is helping them. Fucking prick, I still want you to die in the blizzard. And the son's there. So, you know, he can deliver the packages. He can, you know, finish it off. And I know it'll be tragic for him if his dad gets frozen in the blizzard. This is so fucking bad karma. I live in a place where there are bad snowstorms. So I am giving myself a lot of fucking bad karma by wishing for the postmaster to freeze to death in a blizzard. Because that very well actually could happen to me. That is a honest to God, like, possibility. Last year, on Christmas nonetheless, we had a fucking horrible snowstorm. That just this massive blizzard, and people did freeze to death. So I should not be joking about this, because that is fucking bad karma. It is a possibility where I live that I could freeze to death on Christmas nonetheless. So I just a lot of bad karma. I'm sorry. But at the same time, I am not going, God will help those that help themselves in regards to a family that's fucking starving. So, I'm just saying, I'm a teensy bit higher up. I can have a little bit of a high horse when it comes to the fucking postmaster, okay? So, postmaster and son load up the crates into the horse and buggy, and off they go! Meanwhile, over at the house, the family, the poor family, they're finished Christmas dinner, and the parents don't know what to tell the kids in the morning of, yeah, that was kind of your last meal, kids. You're gonna die. But they're still hoping for a Christmas miracle, and the kids are praying that Santa will make it there. They're not praying that Jesus or God will make it there and save them, but Santa. The pure innocence of kids. Meanwhile, oh no, something happened with the horse and buggy, and the postmaster and son are kind of trapped, like, oh no, it's dark, how are they going to make it through? And postmaster starts praying to God, please help me, which, again, you motherfucking prick. Oh, when there's another family that's starving, you're all like, God helps those that help themselves. But you get in trouble, then you're just running to pray to God, please help me. Fuck you, postmaster. You go help yourself. But God comes through and a light shines up and the snowstorm lets up just enough for them to get to the house. Which I was hoping to see more of them paralleling through this dangerous blizzard. But whatever. It mercifully cuts down on the time of the runtime of this. And they make it to the house, and they open up the packages. And the reason everything got so late was Rose, or who I don't know what fucking relation she is to any of these people, had told everyone in town about their plight, and everyone wanted to donate something so that they could have a fucking Merry Christmas. And a Merry Christmas they're having, and the daughter gets her dress, and everyone's happy, and oh, fuck, there's still a few minutes left on this. Ugh, let's see what happens. So it's New Year's, and there's the big dance, and the daughter has made it there, because, you know, she has her dress now, and the postmaster's son is there, and they have a dance, and they're falling in love, and they're gonna bone. After they get married, of course, just the way that Christ wants you to bone. So, you know, this one wasn't too painful. It kind of went by pretty quick. So, I don't know. I'm going to look and see if I can maybe find, like, some short little Christmas cartoon on YouTube or something to watch. And if I find something, I'll watch and let you know. And if not, in about 2 seconds of your listening time, a lot longer on my time, because I'm going to pause the recording. But within 2 seconds, you will know if I am going to watch something else or if I am going to say goodbye to you guys. Oh, the suspense. Okay, so I found a video on YouTube. It's called A Very Stupid Christmas by something called The Stupid Club. It's the name of the channel. Don't know much about them. Description is two strangers meet each other in a park and soon find out they have more in common with each other than they previously thought they had in common. A little redundant there towards the end of that sentence, in my opinion. You didn't need that they had in common, because we already established that... Oh boy, this thing is already working on my mind. I assume because they're the stupid club, and this is going to make me stupid. But it's like 8 minutes long, and it'll help fill out the time for this episode. So, a very stupid Christmas to you and your family. So we start off with a stupid guy in a green coat. And I think it's fair for me to call him a stupid guy, because, you know, it's a very stupid Christmas by the Stupid Club. So obviously he's stupid. And he's on the bridge, just looking at some ducks, when stupid guy in a red and black coat shows up. And they're like, hey, I'm stupid, you're stupid, right? Well, no, they don't say that, but they talk about looking at ducks. Except they don't name them by ducks, because they're stupid. They don't know what they are. And neither of them know why they're on the bridge at this time. They're like, oh, we're just here. And we don't remember, so I guess we must be meant to hang out. So, stupid green jacket guy, he starts talking about, oh, I've bought all my presents for Christmas. How about you? And stupid red and black coat guy's like, no, because I don't have any money. Oh, so sad. So they're trying to figure out, well, what can we do? And stupid red and black coat guy is like, I know, I can rob a bank because they have money. And stupid green coat guy is like, yeah, that is true, but the bank is very far away. Oh, well, this plan is just no good. Because, you know, bank's too far away. Can't walk there. So they decide, let's rob a house instead. So they find a house, and red and black stupid guy doesn't know how to open a door. Luckily, green jacket guy, he knows how to open the door. And also lucky for them, the door's unlocked. And they go inside, but, oh, they find no money. They only find stuff like TVs and telescopes. And, you know, that's not money. And they're stupid because they don't know that, you know, you can steal that stuff. But, yeah, I don't know. This is dumb. Too dumb even for me. I give up. I'm going to go watch some Christmas videos on Pornhub. And I will not review those. Although, that might be an idea for a future podcast episode. It's just review some bad Pornhub videos. I'm down for that. Till next time, velvetal@hotmail.com. Or leave a comment in the comment section if you're on YouTube. And as always, I love you guys.